Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Snow, ice, wind, bitter temperatures. Winter doesn't fool around in the landscape. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hey, Murph.
We meet again.
We do indeed. And today on GLT's Grow, we're dealing with the damage that winter can inflict on our yards. We have had a lot of wind this past week. I've seen some downed limbs in yards. So there's a lot that can go on that can hurt our plantings.
There are some things that we need to mitigate or take care of after we have been forced to stare out the windows at our gardens and our property all winter.
Yep.
And some of it's stuff you can take care of with, you know, a little more forgiving weather and, you know, some jacket and gloves type work. Some of it is work that you can inspect for and plan on doing at the earliest opportunity so that you don't have your landscape or garden in a state of disrepair, because I hate that, and
folks
do.
Yep.
But we always talk about the trees first, typically, kind of working our way top down. And in the run-up, Laura, you mentioned wind, and wind is such an adversary in the landscape. And in the winter, winter burn occurs to young trees and susceptible trees as a result of the sun being low in the sky, and some varieties of trees, when that sun from the south and the west exposure starts to heat up the bark, it activates some activity in the bark. Some of the cells kind of wake up. And then it freezes at night, and then the damage has occurred. And so you find a flat spot under the bark or a place where the bark has separated from the tree. A lot of people confuse this damage with a lightning strike because of the way it ages after the bark falls off. But winter burn is from sunlight. It's not from the wind. But after the sunlight does the damage, the wind is the 1-2 punch. For young trees that have been in the ground for less than 2 years, you can protect their bark by wrapping them or placing a guard there. But you can also find winter burn occurring on trees that, like beech trees. You know, some beech trees, they love the cold, but they don't stand up to the heat so much. And they also have this thin, steely-type bark that's very susceptible. Some magnolias have this same characteristic. Now, you also can get burn from the wind, right? So that's during intense cold periods or intense dry and cold periods.
Does it look the same?
They do not, because the windburn, Laura, is usually an orange rusty color, and it's mostly on conifers. So
the we would see that on the bark.
That we would see it on the needles of the conifers. So the windburn is on the trunks of certain trees, particularly young ones. The windburn is most common with conifers, and you see this in these orange colored branches that appear during the winter or late winter, early spring. Arborvitaes a lot of times have this problem. Some other soft, marginally hardy conifers.
Is that a death sentence?
It's not, but it's something that you'll have to clip out and probably prune, and it will immediately take away from the presentation of the plant. It's visuals. And then there is a product that can help you with the windburn, and they're antidesiccants. One's called Wiltproof. There are others on the market. You can reapply those during these kind of warm, balmy winter periods, but it's not a time to make the first application. We should have done that back in the fall.
So make plans to do that next fall.
That's right. So the we can get those kinds of damage from the cold, but we also get some damage from unseasonably warm winter weather. And we talked about the sun scalding the bark and everything. But a lot of times you need to water your conifers, particularly if they're in evergreens or elevated planting areas.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's winter damage control.
So the last thing about the trees and the woody plants is, you know, damage occurs. Like you said, we have had high winds in the Midwest lately, and you'll find that you might have some tree damage where there's a suspended or hanging branch. If it's something you can reach safely with a ladder, that's one thing, but these branches can cause harm to people, and they can damage other plants in the landscape. and structures, you know, property. So they're the most important thing to be observant of during mm-hmm. these winter weathers. But now that we've talked about all the elevated and the upper story stuff, we can also look for signs of damage in our turf and in the landscaping.
I'll bet heaving is a problem.
Heaving is definitely a problem. And if you had some landscaping installed late and there was new soil there, you might see that that soil rised a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can also see stakes and other things. Edging restraints are forced out of the ground by the freezing. But those are kind of edge and boundary issues. And they're important to be observant of also.
Right.
And much like some of the other issues in the turf we're going to talk about, you can identify them now, plan to repair them in the near future, because you can't do much about these issues now.
How do we repair?
Well, if it was, say, a snowplow damage, right,
mm-hmm.
and it scalped away some of the turf in our landscaping, if we wanted to, we could sprinkle a little bit of sand on there in the short term, and that's to prevent puddling and reoccurrence of the event. But it's something that does happen. And if you know that it's happened, you can prepare for it. And when you make the repairs, you prevent it doesn't happen again. So if you've got this elevated planting area right next to a driveway or a sidewalk, and every time the plow goes over the edge, it kind of pushes that off, make the repairs with that in mind, right? So you're not recreating the issue.
Okay.
Salt and de-icing agents, they can damage our lawn. They can damage our actual patio surfaces. They
mm-hmm.
can...
They can pocket.
They can make little problems of all different kinds. So be mindful of when you use it and how much you're using. And it's not the craziest thing in the world to either wish for a rain to wash it away, right? So when everything dries, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't get that, you can hit it with a broom and kind of collect a little bit of that, because as it drifts into the grass, into our lawn,
mm-hmm.
you'll see it in light green patches close to the areas where it kind of makes sense, where it's kind of washed off. If it's just light green in color, you might be able to repair that by just doing some additional irrigating in the spring.
Oh.
If testing indicates there is a fertilization shortage, you can do a little fertilizing to offset the stress of that chemical contacting your lawn.
Right.
And we've been getting in the Midwest these rain-winter combinations.
Yeah.
And so the ground is full of moisture, and that's a good thing.
The farmers will appreciate that.
That's needed to restore water in our aquifers and things like that. But at the same time, if during these rainy periods or melting periods, you might be able to identify areas in your turf or in the landscape where there's puddling occurring.
Yeah.
That can occur for various reasons, but it's usually a sign of soil compaction and a kind of a flag for a minor drainage or soil compaction issue. So that is something that you would want to make a note of and then address it by either filling in the low spot, or a 1-2 punch is to kind of loosen the soil with some kind of aeration, whether it's a machine or a pitchfork in your foot, and then put your fill over the top of that.
What kind of fill do you say? Would you recommend?
I like to use a sand and soil fill. Like, so when I have little divots in my turf and when I've managed other people's yards, you know, the folks that sit on the mowers, they know where every little bump is at.
Right.
And a wheelbarrow full of sand can take care of so much of that. You'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it looks like you've spilled some sand on the yard. The grass comes back right away. Low spot gone.
Okay, great advice, Murph. Thank you so much. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, we're talking about getting rid of mold in the soil.
Mm.
And, of course, with all this moisture, that's very possible. Now, if you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us, and it's possible Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.